This is the ESB Level 2 Certificate in ESOL, Examination C1. Section 1, Listening. I am going to give you the instructions for this part of the test. You will hear this sound at the start of each piece. Remember to transfer your answers to the optical mark form before the end of the exam. Now open your question paper and look at Part 1, Section A. Listening Part 1, Section A. You will hear Claire Smith, a podcast presenter, and Mark Peterson, a fitness expert, talking about fitness tracking devices. For questions 1 to 5, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear section A twice. You have 1 minute to read the questions for section A. Part 1, Section A. So, Mark, as a fitness trainer, what changes have you seen in the way we try to keep fit and stay healthy?
Well, Claire, let's start by thinking about technology. In the past, there was a lot of emphasis on inventing new hardware in the form of machines that could help ordinary people feel like top Olympic athletes when they were working out.
You mean things like rowing or running machines?
Yes, and as production costs fell, equipment that had originally been designed for professionals started to appear in local gyms and sports clubs for everyone to use.
I see. And are we likely to see new training machines appearing in the future?
Actually, no. What's changing now is the use of technology more in terms of software applications.
I imagine what you're talking about here is the boom in popularity of mobile phone applications that track fitness, or watch-based fitness trackers, like the Fitbit.
Exactly.
I've just bought a fitness tracking watch, actually. It's very easy to use, but when I read the instructions, I was quite taken aback by what it says it can do. It can count how many steps I walk in a day, and this particular model can also monitor my heartbeat. But can it really tell whether I am getting good quality sleep or not? I find that hard to believe.
Well, actually, Claire, I'm inclined to agree with you. These apps are fairly precise for some things, but not so great for others. And it makes no difference even if you buy an expensive brand. Don't get me wrong, exercise trackers are great tools, but all they can really monitor accurately in terms of sleep quality is how much you move around.
I see.
Can I ask what made you get your fitness tracker in the first place?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be one of those people who can eat what they want and never put on weight. The problem is, I'm what you might call a bit of a couch potato. At the moment, I get really out of breath walking up more than one flight of stairs. I can hear my heart pounding in my ears.
I mean, I'm getting older, and I know I need to take better care of myself. I thought maybe having a fitness tracker would get me moving a bit more.
I'm glad to hear that. Doctors recommend that we should all take some form of exercise at least 3 times a week, and wearing a fitness tracker is a great way to start. But you need to set yourself some realistic objectives. My advice is to track your steps as you go about your normal routine for a week and see how many steps you do on average. Then add 1,000 onto that as the first thing to aim for.
OK, that sounds reasonable.
Once you've done that for a while, you can add higher targets. The trick is not to get too obsessed with the recommended target of 10,000 steps a day. Hopefully you'll be going over that eventually.
Hang on. I thought we said we'd be realistic. Now listen again. So, Mark, as a fitness trainer, what changes have you seen in the way we try to keep fit and stay healthy?
Well, Claire, let's start by thinking about technology. In the past, there was a lot of emphasis on inventing new hardware in the form of machines that could help ordinary people feel like top Olympic athletes when they were working out.
You mean things like rowing or running machines?
Yes, and as production costs fell, equipment that had originally been designed for professionals started to appear in local gyms and sports clubs for everyone to use.
I see. And are we likely to see new training machines appearing in the future?
Actually, no. What's changing now is the use of technology more in terms of software applications.
I imagine what you're talking about here is the boom in popularity of mobile phone applications that track fitness, or watch-based fitness trackers, like the Fitbit.
Exactly.
I've just bought a fitness tracking watch, actually. It's very easy to use, but when I read the instructions, I was quite taken aback by what it says it can do. It can count how many steps I walk in a day, and this particular model can also monitor my heartbeat. But can it really tell whether I am getting good quality sleep or not? I find that hard to believe.
Well, actually, Claire, I'm inclined to agree with you. These apps are fairly precise for some things, but not so great for others. And it makes no difference even if you buy an expensive brand. Don't get me wrong, exercise trackers are great tools, but all they can really monitor accurately in terms of sleep quality is how much you move around.
I see.
Can I ask what made you get your fitness tracker in the first place?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be one of those people who can eat what they want and never put on weight. The problem is, I'm what you might call a bit of a couch potato. At the moment, I get really out of breath walking up more than one flight of stairs. I can hear my heart pounding in my ears. I mean, I'm getting older, and I know I need to take better care of myself. I thought maybe having a fitness tracker would get me moving a bit more.
I'm glad to hear that. Doctors recommend that we should all take some form of exercise at least 3 times a week, and wearing a fitness tracker is a great way to start. But you need to set yourself some realistic objectives. My advice is to track your steps as you go about your normal routine for a week and see how many steps you do on average. Then add 1,000 onto that as the first thing to aim for.
OK, that sounds reasonable.
Once you've done that for a while, you can add higher targets. The trick is not to get too obsessed with the recommended target of 10,000 steps a day. Hopefully you'll be going over that eventually.
Hang on. I thought we said we'd be realistic. That is the end of Part 1, Section A of the listening test. Now turn to Part 1, Section B. Listening Part 1, Section B. You will hear podcast presenter Claire Smith and Paul Lewis talking about the possible benefits of fitness trackers. For questions 6 to 10, choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear Section B twice. You have 1 minute to read the questions for Section B. Paul, as a fitness fan, we asked you to try out a few fitness trackers for us and tell us about the possible benefits. Which trackers did you use and what did you find out?
Well, Claire, I tested 2 well-known fitness tracking devices and an unbranded watch-based tracker that I ordered online from China. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that the 2 well-known trackers were a lot more expensive than the less popular one with no big company name.
Yes, that's what I'd expect. And I'd expect the quality to match the price.
Well, that's where you'd be wrong. The cheaper model seemed just as well made, and it didn't look as if it would break as easily as the others. There really wasn't much to choose between them in terms of functions and ease of use either. Personally, I think spending money on a named product just isn't worth it.
I see. Well, let's talk about the possible health benefits of tracking devices in general, shall we? Do you think you actually got any fitter using a tracker?
That's a good question. I already go to the gym a lot, and I don't think using a tracker made me change anything there. I just stuck to my normal gym routine. But I did feel healthier overall.
Oh? Why's that?
I think it was thanks to the energy calculator that most fitness trackers have. I could see exactly how much energy I was using each day, and I could reduce or increase how much I ate in line with how much energy I used. The more I moved, the more I could eat.
I have a friend who wants to lose weight, but she says getting a fitness tracker has had no impact on what she eats. She has started exercising more, though, and she says she feels fitter. She went on a 5-kilometer walk last week. In the past, she could only manage a short walk to the shops and back. I suppose different people use fitness trackers for different reasons.
I agree. I think if we look at the advantages of using fitness trackers, we need to take people's personal reasons for buying one into account. For example, some people like the sense of security having a device can bring.
What do you mean?
I mean they're confident that a device will record their progress better than they could do on their own.
Is that what you think?
Ultimately, I think it's the desire to change that counts. In buying a fitness tracking device, I think most people are showing that they're ready to transform their lives, whether that's to do with eating or exercising. Of course, it's hard to stay motivated and keep going over time, but that first step of buying a tracker does show good intentions.
So overall, we can conclude that fitness tracking devices have some benefits, but you still have to work hard to see results in the long term.
Yes, I think that's a fair point.
And there I was, hoping that my new fitness tracker would solve all my problems and do all the hard work for me. Oh well, I'm going to try and keep it up all the same.
I'm sure you can do it. You just have to believe that you can.
Thanks, Paul. Now listen again. Paul, as a fitness fan, we asked you to try out a few fitness trackers for us and tell us about the possible benefits. Which trackers did you use and what did you find out?
Well, Claire, I tested two well-known fitness tracking devices and an unbranded watch-based tracker that I ordered online from China. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that the two well-known trackers were a lot more expensive than the less popular one with no big company name.
Yes, that's what I'd expect. And I'd expect the quality to match the price.
Well, that's where you'd be wrong. The cheaper model seemed just as well made and it didn't look as if it would break as easily as the others. There really wasn't much to choose between them in terms of functions and ease of use either. Personally, I think spending money on a named product just isn't worth it.
I see. Well, let's talk about the possible health benefits of tracking devices in general, shall we? Do you think you actually got any fitter using a tracker?
That's a good question. I already go to the gym a lot, and I don't think using a tracker made me change anything there. I just stuck to my normal gym routine. But I did feel healthier overall.
Oh? Why's that?
I think it was thanks to the energy calculator that most fitness trackers have. I could see exactly how much energy I was using each day, and I could reduce or increase how much I ate in line with how much energy I used. The more I moved, the more I could eat.
I have a friend who wants to lose weight, but she says getting a fitness tracker has had no impact on what she eats. She has started exercising more, though, and she says she feels fitter. She went on a 5-kilometre walk last week. In the past, she could only manage a short walk to the shops and back. I suppose different people use fitness trackers for different reasons.
I agree. I think if we look at the advantages of using fitness trackers, we need to take people's personal reasons for buying one into account. For example, some people like the sense of security having a device can bring.
What do you mean?
I mean they're confident that a device will record their progress better than they could do on their own.
Is that what you think?
Ultimately, I think it's the desire to change that counts. In buying a fitness tracking device, I think most people are showing that they're ready to transform their lives, whether that's to do with eating or exercising. Of course, it's hard to stay motivated and keep going over time, but that first step of buying a tracker does show good intentions.
So overall, we can conclude that fitness tracking devices have some benefits, but you still have to work hard to see results in the long term.
Yes, I think that's a fair point.
And there I was, hoping that my new fitness tracker would solve all my problems and do all the hard work for me. Oh well, I'm going to try and keep it up all the same.
I'm sure you can do it. You just have to believe that you can.
Thanks, Paul. That is the end of Part 1, Section B of the listening test. Now turn to Part 2. Listening Part 2. Listen to three conversations, and for questions 11 to 20, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear each conversation twice. You have 2 minutes to read the questions for part two. Conversation 1. Morning, Mr. Phillips. I see you've brought Rusty back to see us. Good boy. There's a good dog. So, Mr. Phillips, what can I do for you today?
We've come to complete his vaccinations. He had his last injection a month ago. My wife brought him in.
Yes. And I seem to remember that on that occasion I warned her about his weight. Your dog should be about 3 kilos lighter, Mr. Phillips. You really need to do something about it before it's too late.
Oh, well, the thing is, my children just can't resist feeding him. He had such a sad life before we got him. He was abandoned as a puppy, and we adopted him from the animal shelter. I know it's your job as a vet to point these things out, but...
No buts, Mr. Phillips. This has to stop. If I can't see a clear improvement next time you bring Rusty, I'm afraid I'll have to consider recommending that the dog be taken away from you and given back to the animal shelter.
Steady on. I realise you're only trying to help, but that seems a bit severe if you ask me. I see plenty of dogs that carry a bit of extra weight. It's not going to kill him, is it? And he's still quite young. Couldn't he just lose those extra kilos as he gets older?
Oh, Mr. Phillips, I don't mean to be rude, but that's highly unlikely. And those extra kilos might not be so damaging now when he's still young, but they'll put him at much higher risk of other diseases later on.
So what do you suggest?
Well, I'm going to recommend putting Rusty on a diet. It won't involve any special food, and you can buy everything you need from the supermarket. But you'll have to weigh out Rusty's food carefully and reduce the number of treats your children are giving him between meals, even the so-called healthy ones.
I see. It's a lot to think about.
Now listen again. Morning, Mr. Phillips. I see you've brought Rusty back to see us. Good boy. There's a good dog. So, Mr. Phillips, what can I do for you today?
We've come to complete his vaccinations. He had his last injection a month ago. My wife brought him in.
Yes. And I seem to remember that on that occasion, I warned her about his weight. Your dog should be about 3 kilos lighter, Mr. Phillips. You really need to do something about it before it's too late.
Oh, well, the thing is, my children just can't resist feeding him. He had such a sad life before we got him. He was abandoned as a puppy, and we adopted him from the animal shelter. I know it's your job as a vet to point these things out, but...
No buts, Mr. Phillips. This has to stop. If I can't see a clear improvement next time you bring Rusty, I'm afraid I'll have to consider recommending that the dog be taken away from you and given back to the animal shelter.
Steady on. I realise you're only trying to help, but that seems a bit severe if you ask me. I see plenty of dogs that carry a bit of extra weight. It's not going to kill him, is it? And he's still quite young. Couldn't he just lose those extra kilos as he gets older?
Oh, Mr. Phillips, I don't mean to be rude, but that's highly unlikely. And those extra kilos might not be so damaging now when he's still young, but they'll put him at much higher risk of other diseases later on.
So what do you suggest?
Well, I'm going to recommend putting Rusty on a diet. It won't involve any special food, and you can buy everything you need from the supermarket. But you'll have to weigh out Rusty's food carefully and reduce the number of treats your children are giving him between meals, even the so-called healthy ones.
I see. It's a lot to think about.
Conversation 2. Hi, Tim.
Ah, Tina. I'm glad you could find some time to think about our annual holiday plans.
Oh, well, you know what it's like. I'm always rushing around after the children. You'll be the same once you have some of your own.
That's as may be. But at the moment, I'm quite happy just being an uncle. So where do you want to go then? I'd really like to sort things out earlier this year so we can go abroad. I'm tired of having to stay close to home just because we're too late to book anything else. If we end up on yet another sad, grey beach in the UK, next year I'll go somewhere on my own.
OK, let's sort things out so we can go abroad this year. I can picture us now, sunbathing on a faraway exotic beach.
Oh, seaside holidays are so boring. Wouldn't you rather try something different? I'm not asking you to go parachuting.
Too right. Jumping out of the sky is not my idea of good holiday fun.
But how about something a bit less extreme, like rock climbing? The kids would love it, I'm sure. Or we could rent a boat for a week and sail around the Greek islands. I've always wanted to do that. Until now, I've let you choose where we go and what we do. But I think now the children are older, it's my turn to pick a place.
That's a fair point, actually. It is time I let you choose what we do. I have to admit I'm a bit worried, though, because I don't think your choice of holiday activities will be any fun for me. But the kids will certainly enjoy doing something more unusual, especially Jack. He loves doing what he calls scary stuff outdoors, and he'll try anything as long as his Uncle Tim is with him.
So why don't I just ask the kids what they want to do, and we can decide where to go on the basis of what they say.
Oh, Tim, you have no idea how to deal with children. Either they'll never be able to agree, or they'll choose something that we will hate. At their age, it's important that they learn to adapt to what other people like doing. I think the best thing to do is present them with a few possibilities that we like for them to choose from. So, tell me more about the Greek islands. Now listen again. Hi, Tim.
Ah, Tina. I'm glad you could find some time to think about our annual holiday plans.
Oh, well, you know what it's like. I'm always rushing around after the children. You'll be the same once you have some of your own.
That's as may be. But at the moment, I'm quite happy just being an uncle. So where do you want to go then? I'd really like to sort things out earlier this year so we can go abroad. I'm tired of having to stay close to home just because we're too late to book anything else. If we end up on yet another sad, grey beach in the UK, next year I'll go somewhere on my own.
OK, let's sort things out so we can go abroad this year. I can picture us now, sunbathing on a faraway exotic beach.
Oh, seaside holidays are so boring. Wouldn't you rather try something different? I'm not asking you to go parachuting.
Too right. Jumping out of the sky is not my idea of good holiday fun.
But how about something a bit less extreme, like rock climbing? The kids would love it, I'm sure. Or we could rent a boat for a week and sail around the Greek islands. I've always wanted to do that. Until now, I've let you choose where we go and what we do. But I think now the children are older, it's my turn to pick a place.
That's a fair point, actually. It is time I let you choose what we do. I have to admit I'm a bit worried, though, because I don't think your choice of holiday activities will be any fun for me. But the kids will certainly enjoy doing something more unusual, especially Jack. He loves doing what he calls scary stuff outdoors, and he'll try anything as long as his Uncle Tim is with him.
So why don't I just ask the kids what they want to do, and we can decide where to go on the basis of what they say.
Oh, Tim, you have no idea how to deal with children. Either they'll never be able to agree, or they'll choose something that we will hate. At their age, it's important that they learn to adapt to what other people like doing. I think the best thing to do is present them with a few possibilities that we like for them to choose from. So, tell me more about the Greek islands. Conversation 3. Good morning, Mike. Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about? I'm assuming it's something important, given that you've been trying to get hold of me for a couple of days. That's why my secretary squeezed you in.
Well, I appreciate it, Helen. I know managers are really busy at this time of year.
Yes, I've got a meeting with the head of finance in 15 minutes, so I hope whatever it is you wanted to discuss won't take long. Of course, if you wanted a longer meeting, we could always arrange to meet another time.
Ah, yes. Well, this shouldn't take long. You see, I've just had my annual performance review, and I was wondering if we could talk about the possibility of me getting a pay rise. I mean, it's been 7 years since I joined the company, and I'm still earning the same salary I earned when I began.
I see. Well, I appreciate you've been with us for a few years now, and don't get me wrong, you're doing a great job. It's just that we usually only increase an employee's salary when they start in a new role. And, as far as I can see, you haven't changed your job since you joined us.
I was afraid you'd say that. The trouble is, there haven't really been any opportunities to explore other options in my department, and that's not exactly my fault. To change my role, I'd have to transfer to a different sector of the company, and maybe even relocate to another town. But one of the main reasons I took this job in the first place was that the office was local, and I wouldn't have far to travel to work.
OK, well, I can see that moving would be problematic. I tell you what, I'll have a chat with the head of your department and see what she thinks. Then we can all sit down together and work something out. How does that sound?
I'd really appreciate that. Thanks.
Now listen again. Good morning, Mike. Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about? I'm assuming it's something important, given that you've been trying to get hold of me for a couple of days. That's why my secretary squeezed you in.
Well, I appreciate it, Helen. I know managers are really busy at this time of year.
Yes, I've got a meeting with the head of finance in 15 minutes, so I hope whatever it is you wanted to discuss won't take long. Of course, if you wanted a longer meeting, we could always arrange to meet another time.
Ah, yes. Well, this shouldn't take long. You see, I've just had my annual performance review, and I was wondering if we could talk about the possibility of me getting a pay rise. I mean, it's been 7 years since I joined the company, and I'm still earning the same salary I earned when I began.
I see. Well, I appreciate you've been with us for a few years now, and don't get me wrong, you're doing a great job. It's just that we usually only increase an employee's salary when they start in a new role. And as far as I can see, you haven't changed your job since you joined us.
I was afraid you'd say that. The trouble is, there haven't really been any opportunities to explore other options in my department, and that's not exactly my fault. To change my role, I'd have to transfer to a different sector of the company, and maybe even relocate to another town. But one of the main reasons I took this job in the first place was that the office was local, and I wouldn't have far to travel to work.
Okay, well, I can see that moving would be problematic. I tell you what, I'll have a chat with the head of your department and see what she thinks. Then we can all sit down together and work something out. How does that sound?
I'd really appreciate that. Thanks.
That is the end of the listening test. Do not forget to transfer your answers to the optical mark form before the end of the examination. You will not be given extra time to do this. You may now continue with the rest of the exam.